Hi, I'm Greg Williams, president of Grace Communion International, and I'm here today with our newly appointed North American superintendent, Michael Rasmussen. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Greg.
Mike, I thought we would start today by just having you give a brief thumbnail sketch of your history of being a part of GCI and just a little brief introduction of who you are.
Sure. You have enough time. That's the question. I started back in 1977 working for the landscape department and then moved into Ambassador Auditorium. I was hired by Joseph DeCott Sr. in 1983, worked for him for about 11 years, 12 years, and my job was to plan his trips and to travel with him. When he died, I started working for Joe Jr. in Pasadena. But he just didn't have the same needs as his dad did. And so I asked if I could go out in the field.
Right.
And so I went out and started pastoring in Oklahoma City and have been there for the last 20 years.
Right.
So it's been an interesting journey, but it's, and I love pastoring now. So I loved working at the home office back for those many years, but I love pastoring as well.
Yes. So you've actually seen the church from a lot of different perches.
I have. Yeah, I've been very blessed. Yeah, in fact, I was able to work for Mr. Armstrong in his home for about 4 years for different dinners and things like that. So I've been able to get a chance to see different presidents working in different ways, and it's been a good journey.
Well, good. So what are your initial thoughts and feelings about stepping into this new role as the North American superintendent?
Well, Greg, you know that this has been an interesting journey as well, because I absolutely love pastoring. And so when you approached me on this, it was a challenge for me. And it was something that required a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion with family and people that I really value their input. So it hasn't been something that I just wanted to jump at. I didn't feel that was what God had at the beginning. But over time, I just feel convicted more and more in my spirit that this is something God would like for me to do. And so I'm going to give it my best shot, and I'm excited about it. It's a big challenge.
Yes. Yes. Exciting new frontier, huh?
It is. We're in a wonderful opportunity right now of change and transition, and with the move of the home office. And by the way, it is beautiful. I love the environment and the setting that you're in here. I'm just really excited about where we're going.
Very good, Mike. Very good. So your role then as a superintendent in our new structure, even around the world with all of our six different communities of practice, you're going to be overseeing North America. What does that make up? What groups will you be working with?
Well, it's kind of divided. A primary responsibility will be working in the United States, working with our regional directors. There's four of them, plus myself. We've been working together for a while now, and so I'll continue that process of rolling out the different venues and agendas that we've been discussing. But I'll also be working alongside the National Director for Canada, as well as the Caribbean. So the direct oversight of the United States, but also working with more of an indirect oversight of the other areas.
Yes, that's really good, and I think for Canadians and the folks in the Caribbean too, I think it's going to be nice that we are brought in together. You've already been building a relationship with some of these leaders.
We have. We've been going through a core group with Giant Worldwide, and it's been tremendous, and the relationships are already being built. And I'm excited about that too, because I get to know some more people that I knew from years ago, some of them, and now I get to know them in a new, fresh way.
Yes.
So, the relationships are growing and bonding in a way that, and quicker than I had anticipated.
Well, that's so good. Backing up a little bit, you talked about how, stepping away from pastoral ministry was a major thing for you. And I've appreciated, Mike, how you've always sought confirmation. I mean, you seek the Lord's face, but you seek confirmation from people, all around you. And, talk a little bit about that process of how you go through that.
Well, when you first approached me on it, I was flattered. I was thankful for the opportunity, but I wanted to be sure that this wasn't something that just seemed good to you.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that it was something that seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so I just began to ask a lot of people around me and in in my past, people that knew me well, and just asking them what they felt, and was the Holy Spirit convicting them that this was the right move? And it's kind of frightening because they all get a chance to tell you, no, you're, you know, this isn't something you should do, or you're not the right person for the job. But if it's of God, and if it's the Holy Spirit's leading, then I believe that He will give confirmation to them as well. And I know that there's difficult times ahead. I mean, there's challenges that we face. And I'm going to need to know that this is something that God has asked me to do, not something that I've pushed for or did on a whim.
Yes.
So it's important for me to have that confirmation.
Yeah, issue of calling is a tricky thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about these other regional directors. We've affectionately called your group the Five Guys. You know, you don't sell hamburgers, but I guess you could.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, but talk a little bit about that relationship and what that's been like.
That's neat. It's the five regional directors across the United States. And many of them I've known for 30, 40 years. Mm. So there was a deep relationship even before coming into these positions. But we've gone through a process called the CORE, mm-hmm. and it's by Giant Worldwide. And it's really a deep dive into understanding yourself and understanding others, how to lead yourself so that you can lead others. It's a little bit overwhelming because as you go through this year-long process, there is a real opportunity to become real. And you ask some really difficult questions in this. And you have to be transparent. And in that, though, some of us resisted it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But as we began to let ourselves, you know, really trust God and be open and honest with one another, it has bonded us together in a way that I've never seen before. And so there is a camaraderie, a joy. But there's also the, we also can be honest with each other and call each other out when we're not, you know,
right.
we're not being totally honest about how we're feeling or what's going on.
Yeah,
so it's a deep relationship.
You said call out, and it's interesting because in the giant language, it's call up.
Call up, yeah.
And again, I mean, we're still getting the language in our head, but I love the language because it's giving us a common language that's helping to build our culture. Could you speak a little bit about that in terms of how you see the culture being developed?
Well, you know, we in the process, you learn a language that helps us to be able to quickly articulate direction and vision. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's also a lot of high challenge and a lot of high support. And we've also added grace always.
Absolutely. That's who we are.
That's who we are. But it's a matter of we want the best for each other and for the organization. And so we're able now with this language to be able to go right to the point of where we need to be and to be able to be on the same page at the same time.
Right.
And so the CORE has really been helpful. And as we roll that out into each level of the organization, I think it's going to have a profound effect on how we see things and how we do vision and how we strategize.
Yeah, so that's that in a way speaks to how you've related with the other five guys.
Oh, absolutely.
So talk a little bit about the depth of the relationship, though, that you've been experiencing over the last couple of years.
Well, you know, we can work together as coworkers, and I've worked with these guys before as coworkers, mm-hmm. but there is something now that we've never had before, and that is a depth of brotherhood, a depth of really understanding one another, of, like I say, being able to challenge one another,
yes.
And that just takes you to a deep level. And I'm excited about how that can happen for our pastors and our members as they begin to be real and open and honest and working together in the common goal and the common vision. That's
right.
That's powerful.
So I know in your new role as overseeing and working with the regional directors that our vision is Healthy Church. So you're already speaking in part to how we want to move to Healthy Church. You and I've talked about how what you're experiencing with the group that you oversee, we want to get that down to the front line and pastors and what they're experiencing with their leaders and so forth. So talk a little bit about this whole movement toward Healthy Church and how you want to play a role in that.
Well, you know, you and I have talked, and we don't believe that church is about coming together and shining your light in each other's eyes.
I mean,
We do want the fellowship, and we need that. But church is about so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And it's about being the church, about being that light in your community, of going out and engaging your community and loving your community. I mean, that's what Jesus did all the time, was going and meeting these people where they were. It's not, you know, let's just come and join me in my building, and if you do, then you can be a part of the church. The church goes out. And so I think that the core has helped us to be able to understand that more. Also, understanding of outside the walls, of being able to get out and love the people out there. But then we've got to also be a healthy church internally.
Yes.
If we don't have the different venues we've talked about, the love, hope, and faith venues, where there's healthy discipleship going on, there's a healthy worship, you know, and a healthy life within the body, How do we invite people into that?
Right.
So we're going to be rolling that out more and explaining that more and helping people to understand that in a deeper way.
Right. Well, during the course of this year, we'll have our regional celebrations in the United States.
Yes.
And you, along with the Five Guys, I know we talked about this at our cabin retreat last year, but you guys are very convicted about the theme of healthy leaders for healthy churches.
Right.
So that, again, that's right in line with what we're talking about. Can you talk a bit more about this whole healthy leader concept?
Well, I think that it's for the first time that I've seen where we're all fighting in the same direction, on the same page, for the same goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen that kind of synergy and that unity that we've had before. But yeah, we need to be modeling it as leaders. It's not something that we just talk about. It's not something that we can just share from a book. This has to be something that we are involved in, we're doing, and we understand it, and we get it, and we want to share those stories. So you know me, I'm a firm believer that if I'm going to be asking somebody else to do something, I'm going to be doing it myself.
Yes.
I can't just ask them to do it and say, well, this is what you ought to be doing, but I'm not doing it. I've got to be doing it too.
Yeah. Maybe for those who don't know you so well, you're the guy who takes the first leap. One of your hobbies is skydiving.
Yeah,
you've jumped out of the plane how many times now?
A little over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
A little over 1,000. But you know, it's interesting. That's how I met my wife. Was in college skydiving. We became friends going out jumping together, and that developed into a relationship that's now been 35 years. This year we'll have our anniversary. So.
And I've heard you talk about this. I've probably not shared it before, but you actually do the tandem jumping where you take others out. And I think you almost get more joy in taking somebody out. Jeff Broadnax just recently jumped out of the plane with you, and it seems like that brings you more joy than a solo jump in some ways.
Well, it was something that my son, my oldest son Grant, who also jumps, and he's got even more jumps than I do, we did together for a while. I'm no longer certified in that because of the role of the regional director. I didn't have the time to do it, but we did it for a season together. And I still jump, and my son still jumps. And yes, Jeff Broadnax had promised me 20 years ago that he would go skydiving, and I've kind of nudged him along the way those 20 years. And yes, just recently, we were able to go out. I wasn't hooked up to him as a tandem master, but I was in the plane with him, and he did a great job. He was a natural.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. For me, being able to skydive is a time of peace. People think, well, I'll be petrified. Mm-hmm. Well, you start off that way, but now I get to enjoy the beauty of God's creation. And when you're skydiving, you can't think about anything else other than that jump. And so it's a way to clear your mind.
I better not let you go down this road
too far,
because I know how passionate you are about this, right?
I know.
If you approach your skydiving this way, I've also seen that you approach ministry this way too, because you don't do it as a solo sport. You have been good at mentoring. Could you speak to how valuable that is in terms of what we need in ministry today?
Well, one of the things that I have really preached powerfully in my congregation and at camp in my region is we need to be mentoring somebody at all times. I would much rather have somebody who can mentor someone than someone who can do a job well. Because if you can mentor others, you will never be without a job. I mean, that is the role of a pastor. It's not to be the bottleneck for ministry within the congregation. It's to be the one who finds people and their gifts and frees them up and empowers them. And we need to not only be doing that at one level, but we need to be doing that at multiple levels.
Right.
And we especially need to be doing that with new young people coming into the congregation and helping them find a path into ministry.
Right.
I'm passionate about that.
Well, as you help to lead our leaders, our regional directors who are working with our pastors, this whole sense of being able to equip others, to empower others, and to release them into the ministry of Jesus Christ, that sounds like the direction that you are taking. How do you see that? How do you see that gaining traction as we go into this year?
Well, I think that we're all beginning to realize that we have a fresh opportunity to begin to relaunch not only the home office, not only within the regions, but also within our congregations,
right,
to begin to find the community where God has called us to. There's one thing about going into a community and targeting it, and we should be doing that. Mm-hmm. We should be loving our neighborhood wherever we're at,
right,
in our buildings now. But just because you're targeting your community doesn't mean that you're in your target community.
Mm.
And so we're going to be discovering that and finding out how do we find that target community where we can engage people in long-term ministry, that we can begin to be a family in that community. Right now, we have a lot of congregations that are commuter churches,
mm-hmm,
and they're driving in, and thank God for them, and we're grateful for their commitment. But we really would like to begin to grow out of those community churches.
Yes.
And that's going to take the leadership of empowering people and welcoming people in. A lot of times we use the same people over and over again for different things.
Right.
But if we're going to have new people coming into our congregations, we've got to have pathways, discipleship pathways, to train them, to empower them, and bring them in to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So if your congregation's not able to do that, it's going to be really difficult for new people to come in and find a spot and feel needed and wanted.
So what you're saying is we want people to come alive in Christ, to understand that they're loved and liked and included in His life, and that they are saved. They don't have to worry about their salvation.
Right.
But you're also talking about coming alive in the body of the church, finding where they participate.
Yes.
And so pastors really have a strong job of helping people find their place even in the life of the church. Is that...
Well, yeah, isn't our job to partner with Jesus and what He's doing?
Yes.
You know, so our job as pastors is to help people come alongside Jesus, to feel the empowering of the Holy Spirit, to feel the gifting that He provides, and then finding the way to be able to serve in the body as it pleases Him. Our job is to help people find those places.
Yes.
And then create lanes for them to be able to open doors for them to be able to go through to carry out that ministry.
Right.
That's our role. That's one of our primary jobs.
Well, let's bring this back around too, because even in what we're asking our pastors and our leaders in our churches to do and so forth, we're going through some of that shift as well, because previously I've been the church administration and development director for the USA, and in part we're spreading that out, we're dividing that office, in a way doing away with that office, because as a superintendent, you're going to work with the regional directors, and I'm going to continue, at least for a time, to work with our development team. So how do you see that working out?
I think that what you're trying to do is you're trying to flatten the organization to where we're actually right-sized for where we are and the size that we are,
mm-hmm,
and also to empower the people who are actually dealing with the various areas to have more authority and more opportunity and more ability to supervise those individuals. You're giving the regional directors the opportunity to make decisions within their region, because we're the ones who know the pastors and know the members and know the circumstances. So to me, it makes great sense to be able to give us the authority to do the different jobs that we need to do.
Right.
But the same way that you're doing that for us, we also need to empower the people that work, you know, in the downstream from us, to be able to have the authority and the power to do the things they need to do as well.
Right.
To free up their people in their congregations and give them the opportunities.
Yeah, does that involve a little bit of risk, you think?
Absolutely. Sure does. But if we don't trust people, how in the world can they ever reach their potential?
It's really a faith journey, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that you've trusted us. You've given us a lot of freedom and latitude and empowered us. And what I also love, Greg, is you listen to us. You know, you bring a lot of things to the table and you think it through, but you also give us the chance to come and find the loose bricks in that. Mm-hmm. And we go forward together as a team. We're pastor-led, but we're team-based, and that's got to be modeled from the top down. And you do that, and we need to be doing that as regional directors as well.
Well, that's our hope going forward, isn't it? We really want to be the best, healthiest expression of church we can be. That's what we've been called to.
Right.
So, Mike, I look forward to working even more closely with you. We've worked together for a number of years already, so I feel very very comfortable going forward in what we're doing. But as you step into this, I want you to think about what, for those who are listening in, how can they be praying for you, supporting you? What kind of help do you think you need going forward?
I would love prayers for the gift of discernment, that God would help me to be able to hear His voice of where He wants us to go and how He wants us to get there, and that my heart would be open to that. That I would be humble enough and broken enough to be able to hear it, follow it, and share it in a way that reflects Jesus Christ. Also, I would ask for prayers that God would help me to be balanced, to know how much to take on. I tend to be a little bit of a workaholic. I struggle a little bit with taking personal time to regenerate and recharge. You guys are helping with that. In fact, CORE has helped with that tremendously.
Yes.
There's a challenge of the five gears, of having different gears in your life and being in the right gear at the right time. And one of those gears is a recharge, to be able to take care of yourself. And I've, you know, all the regional directors have been given permission, and yourself, to hold me accountable to that. So I would just ask that God would give me wisdom to be balanced in that way.
Absolutely. Well, you're certainly in my prayers for that. And I'm amazed to see that what we went through in CORE Group, just how the Holy Spirit has gently helped us to see the nudges in directions we need to find that balance. I think for you too, Mike, it's like you said earlier, it was even in our weaknesses that God's grace was made strong. I think of the verse in Corinthians where Paul talks about that, and that really has come to light in what we've done in the CORE Group. One of the things I'd like to maybe end on is how, in the whole process of making the decision, you not only included Julie, but your adult children too. I know you're a family man, and I'd like for those who are listening in to hear a little bit about your passion for your family.
like you say, my number one love after Jesus Christ is my family. I have an amazing wife, Julie. She is a nurturer. But she's just tender-hearted, and I've truly learned more from my wife than I have from any other group, college, anything that
yes,
I've gone through.
Yes.
My wife has taught me more about Jesus Christ than anybody, and we are truly blessed to have two wonderful sons, Grant, who's now just turning 29, and Kurt, who's 27. They live close by. We're able to spend time with them each week or every 2 weeks at the most. Just love them to pieces. And so, they're the ones. In fact, when you asked me about this role, after talking to God about it, they were the first ones that I went to, along with Julie, to say, you guys know me, what do you think? Of course, they knew me working back at headquarters in Pasadena years ago. And so I really value their perspective and their input.
And I think it's worked out well, too, because even as we processed about you coming into this role, it's like I can't move. I've got to stay here in Oklahoma. And that was the reason, wasn't it?
It was, because we left Pasadena and the boys were young. They were in first grade and kindergarten. And both boys have come to me over the years and said, Dad, please don't do that to us. Mm-hmm. We want you to be here for, because they left their grandparents in Pasadena. And so they wanted us to be there for their grandkids. So I made a commitment to them right there and then that I would stay together with them so that we can be there for them and love the grandkids and hopefully great grandkids one day.
That's beautiful, Mike. So wrapping this up, you stepped away from pastoral ministry. You've talked about that, but you're not going to step away from being a regional director.
Right.
Why are you making that choice?
Again, I believe that if I'm going to be asking people to do things, I need to be in the trenches with them. So just like pastoring, if I was going to ask pastors to get out and engage their community and be involved in that way, I had to be doing it as well. And so whenever we do an outreach in my church, I'm out there. I'm knocking on the doors. I'm involved in that. I'm a firm believer that a pastor can't preach from on high without having their hands in it and being involved in it as well. So the same thing's true as a regional director. If I'm going to ask the regional directors to do something, I want to know how it feels to be on the receiving end of that. If I'm going to ask them to do tasks, I want to know how difficult that task is and if it's the right way to do it and if it's, you know, too much or too little or whatever. So yeah, that's the negotiations that you and I worked out, yeah, that I would be able to stay a regional director at the same time so that I can stay in the trenches with my brothers.
Well, I think that's excellent. I'm looking forward to how this continues to unfold. It seems like the Lord's had us on a really good course together. And I want to just say, Mike, thank you for stepping into this role of superintendent. And it makes my job a lot easier having good people like you. So thank you for the time today. And you, Julie, and your kids will all be in our prayers. And along with the five guys you'll be working with and the Canadians and Caribbean folks as
well. I'm excited.
Me too. Well, God bless, Mike, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.